All right, you guys ready for the word this morning? Yeah, let's get to it. Today I want to talk about the church. Say the church. And more specifically, us coming to church. I want to title this message, Why Come to Church, all right? Now this message may make you glad. It may make you sad. It may make you say, oh my and oh me, all right? But what I want to do is call to your remembrance something that's so very important, yet so easily forgotten about. I kind of want to drop a truth bomb this morning. I want to read one scripture. One scripture is our text. Okay, kind of like last week, Genesis 1:1 was our text, all right? And listen, if you've not listened to the past five messages, even going back to Pastor Chris's message at the last of the year and open the new year, and then 2020, the shift, 2020, leave the familiar, and then last week, a new beginning, man, do yourself a favor. I'm asking our whole church to go and listen to those because we're trying to frame this stuff, laying the foundation for this year and for this next decade, okay? And if you've missed some Wednesday nights, I'm telling you, there's been some fine Bible teaching from my own wife about Jeremiah, out of the book of Jeremiah. And all of those are online as well. So do yourself a favor. We're now broadcasting in 1080p high definition. The open door has gone to high def. We've spent some money on a camera and all that kind of stuff. So your viewing and enjoyment should be good. But go check those things out because we do it for you. Today's text is Psalm 122, verse 1. It's the psalmist David. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, I've spoken on this before. I want to speak on it again. I was glad when they said to me, this is David, let us go to the house of the Lord. He didn't say, hey, I was glad when they said to that guy over there, let's go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when, you know, they said to that group of people over there, let's go. No, he said, I was glad when they said to me, personal, direct to me, let us, everybody, go to the house of the Lord. Now, let me give some context, all right? And some of you know this, and this may be new to some of you, but in this section of Psalms, it's a very poetic book in the Old Testament. It's a group of psalms called the Songs of Ascent. It's Psalms 120 through 134. The ladies have done studies on that on Wednesday night. I think it was Beth Moore, wasn't it, Meg? Yeah. They did a whole entire study on the Psalms of Ascent. Here's what's going on. Every year, say every year. Every year, there were three very special times for the Jewish people, all right? Every year, three solemn feasts were held. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Sukkoth, or Tabernacles. Each of these feasts would last a full 7 days. Seven full days. These feasts were special times. A lot of joy. It was a great occasion. Everyone in the land looked very forward to them. There was a lot of joy. There was a lot of, you know, just yippee-yay and just good times. Yippee-yay, where'd that come from? That's the ancient Hebrew. I don't know. Wow, that's the Western text, you know? But they were just great times. Everyone looked forward to them. It was on the talk of their lips. They blocked it out. They made sure they were attendants, okay? It was the highlights of their year, these three feasts. And there, it was a time of everyone gathering together. There was a great, great worship service, a lot of feasting, a lot of eating, a lot of merriment. I mean, that sounds like church, right? A great worship time, a lot of eating. The church is synonymous with food. I mean, it's been that way since a long time. It was a big party. These three feasts were a big party with the sole purpose of worshiping the Lord. Tell that to somebody. Say that it was a big party with the purpose of worshiping God. I want you to repeat that so it gets in your mind. It was a time when the entire nation, oh my goodness, how I wish we could do this. It'd be so wonderful. When the entire nation would gather together to acknowledge that God reigns over the nation. And so as they gathered, what did they do? Their primary role was to worship together. To worship together. Now, the Jewish historian Josephus recorded that many times over 1 million people would attend these feasts and these festivals. That's more than a couple, right? That's a lot. More than 1 million people would gather at these feasts. They were big things and big times, and the Jewish people would come from all over the land to attend these feasts. They would leave their homes, they would leave their crops, they would leave their herds, they would gather together in their families, and some would travel for many miles away, and they would make the pilgrimage, a strenuous journey to Jerusalem to worship. Now, Jerusalem was where the tabernacle sat during David's time. It was where the temple was built by his son Solomon. And the tabernacle and the temple was the house of God. It's where God's presence resided over the mercy seat. It's where people gathered corporately together to worship the Lord for these 3 weeks throughout the year. Now, Jerusalem is situated on what's known as the Jerusalem Mountains. Jerusalem sits high up. Anybody ever been to Jerusalem in here? I haven't either, I know some believers. There's a lot of believers who are like, "Oh, I'd love to go to Jerusalem." And not me. I like good old America. I don't want to travel. Woo! But anyway, I heard it's awesome. It's beautiful. But you can look at Google Maps and you can see and do some architectural studies. But Jerusalem sits on top of these mountains, and so this city was on a big old hill, so that no matter where the people were coming from, north, south, east, west, all over, as they got closer and closer to Jerusalem, they would have to climb up or ascend to the city. That's why these psalms are called the Psalms of Ascent. You climb, all right? And so these Jewish people, they would sing these psalms over and over as they ascended towards Jerusalem. These were kind of their marching songs that they would kind of sing in cadence. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, we do that kind of stuff, you know. And you maybe see a college group doing a step routine and stuff, and it's all in sync and everything. You know, that's kind of, they would do, these were their marching songs as they went towards Jerusalem, all right. And they would sing with happy hearts. I mean, they wouldn't be like, "Oh, we're so tired, we're so exhausted, you know. This is such a drudge that we have to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Man, can't we change it? Can't God require something else of us?" No, they would do this with happy hearts. Say happy hearts. David, writing Psalm 122, this is the third song in this series of ascents. And it was written for those people who were marching up the hill, or so to speak, the mountain to Jerusalem. And it was to be sung as they stood right there inside the city gates after they made their journey. So get this. I bring all this up so you can picture this in your mind. So these tired and weary pilgrims would finally stand in the gates of the city, all right, after this long and hard, strenuous journey. They would lift up their eyes to the tabernacle, or lift it up to the temple, depending on what time frame they were living in. And then they would then repeat the words of David, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I don't know if you guys got that. I think that just went right over a lot of your heads. Listen, they were tired. They were exhausted. They were weary. They had given effort. Life had become chaotic. I mean, can you imagine traveling? How many have traveled with kids in a caravan, maybe? It can be a little chaotic, right? You know, "Sit down. We're not there yet." I mean, can you imagine going to Jerusalem? "We're not there yet. Hush back there." I don't know. Tired, exhausted, weary. They had to climb a mountain. And so they step into the city gates. What do they say? "I'm too tired to go to the house of God today. I'm too worn out to go to the house of God today. I'm too busy, too preoccupied. Just don't feel it. The big game's on tonight. The big game's on today." No, what'd they do? No matter how they felt, right as they got in the city, "Let's go to God's house." That was on their lips. Let's go to God's house. Let's go to God's house. Let's go to the house of the Lord. See, that's what David's writing about. He's displaying his emotions in this phrase and in this invitation. What was his reaction in that invitation? What was the emotion that he was trying to project forward? It was the emotion of gladness. Gladness. He was glad. Everyone say glad. It's not the trash bag. This is the emotion. Glad to go to the house of the Lord. Why was he so glad? Why was he so glad? Because he lived in the faith and the fear of Jehovah God. Even as a young child, David had set God before him. David had seen God move. He had heard God speak to him. He knew that God lived and that in God he lived and moved and breathed and had his breathing. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. David's life was all about the Lord. Even God said that David was a man after his own heart. David was fully committed to God. And so David wanted to acknowledge all of this, and he wanted to declare all that. And to David, there was no better place to acknowledge and to declare all of this about God than in God's house. That's why he said, I was glad, happy, joyous when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord, because David loved the house of the Lord. It was so important. David wanted to build the temple. He had set it in his heart to build the temple for the Lord. But God said, you're a man of war. Instead of you doing it, I'm going to let your son Solomon do that. But then guess what? Did David get upset about that? Did he whine and mope and cry? No, he was behind his son Solomon doing that. Matter of fact, when you read at the end of David's life, he gave such a huge, huge donation of wealth and money and treasures to his son. And he said, put all of this towards building the house of the Lord. That's how much the house of God meant to David. Not only did he attend it, and he was glad to attend it, but man, he threw all kinds of wealth and valuable treasure and personal possessions towards building the house of the Lord. That's a whole nother message right there. Tithes, giving of offerings, right? We can show how much we appreciate God's house by our support of God's house, right? Another message of another day. I have not enough time to talk about that too, but you got to understand, David rejoiced at the mere opportunity to even go to the house of the Lord and experience God's presence. David loved being in God's presence. You can read that all throughout his writings. He loved the presence of the Lord. He loved feeling God's presence. He loved being in God's presence. And he knew God's presence was at the house of the Lord. And he writes about that all through his writings. So when he heard the call to gather, to worship together in God's house, he was excited, he was pumped, his heart pounded with joy. He had an eager anticipation. When was the last time your heart pounded with joy because you knew it was Sunday? Or you knew it was Wednesday? Or you knew it was Sunday afternoon and your salt group met together? A ladies' Bible study, if you don't know what that is, and they're in the book of Isaiah. You guys are doing chapter 40 today, right? Chapter 40 today. Woo. Or corporate prayer on Thursday. Or the Defenders group, that's a biblical apologetics group that meets on Thursdays, right? Or any of the ministries of the church. My heart pounds to go. I can't wait to get there. I've got an anticipation and an excitement about it. David was excited. He was happy, glad, happier than a fat dog on a, or a tick on a fat dog. That's what I'm trying to say. Trying to get that out there in a minute. And a tick loves a fat dog. Let me just say that, all right? Listen, what David is saying is this. Coming to God's house was actually a subject of joy to him. Write that down if you're taking notes. Coming to God's house was a subject of joy to David. I was glad. Rejoice. Look forward to getting there. No one had to drag David there. No one had to coerce David to come. He wasn't going out of obligation. It wasn't just expected of David. He was looking forward to the moment when he could walk into God's presence, not just as an individual, but us corporately with others. David wanted to go to God's house every chance and opportunity that he had. So let's talk about us today in 2020. You know, I talked about small shifts that we can make in this new year, in this new decade, about 3 weeks ago. Little things that we could do, you know? Maybe God's been prodding you and nudging you. He's still nudging and prodding me to make these small shifts, these small changes, and maybe this could be one, all right? You know that we are blessed. blessed. Tell somebody you're blessed. We are blessed with the opportunity to come together like we are today. It's not illegal, and there are people right now, they're not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to gather. They're not allowed to get together. They would love to say, man, I would love it if I could go to God's house and worship corporately. We are so blessed. We should never, ever forget that. As a matter of fact, you should start praying for our brothers and sisters of the persecuted church. Nigeria is a hotbed of activity right now against Christians. It's horrible. Other places in the world. You realize there's some believers in the world right now, they don't have nice air conditioning. They don't have nice light. They don't have no screens like this. They don't have worship like this. Man, you are blessed. We are blessed, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for our freedom. Thank you, God, for how blessed we are in this country, the luxury of coming together, all right? And so I want to talk about us coming together today. And I've got to be careful because I don't want to be, please hear your pastor's heart this morning, okay? This under-shepherd of the shepherd. I don't want to be legalistic. This is how you do it around, you know, pastor preaching on the pulpit and pointing a finger, you know, certain people or staring. I'm going to find a blank chair. Staring at somebody while I'm talking, you know. Some ministers will do that and you just kind of squirm. You're like, oh, man, he's, you know. I don't want to play the church attendance shame game. Gang, this is not manipulation. This is nothing like that. So please don't take it like that. This is just a reminder, okay? A gentle nudge. A message to going against the grain of culture. A reminder to remember the inherent value of this thing we call church. And the inherent value of being able to come together and gather together corporately, all right? So let me ask you a question. What are you here for? Now, you don't have to answer. No audible answers, please. But personally, what are you here for this morning? What got you up this morning to come to church for? Was it routine or tradition? Did you feel like it was the right thing to do? Do you feel like it was the expected thing to do? Are you trying to put on a show that you're a good person? Well, I go to church here out of obligation. Maybe you're here because you're seeing what you can get out of coming, what the church can do for you, you know, kind of. One of our presidents said, that's not what you can, you know, what your country can do for you, but what you can do for the country. There's a lot of believers, they flip in with the church and say, that's not what, you know, I can do for my church, but what can my church do for me? Maybe that's your heart. Maybe you came very half-heartedly this morning. And don't misunderstand, I don't care what the reason you're here, we celebrate you. Look around. This place is full today, man. There's people watching online. Praise God, yes? I'm glad you're here. I don't care what the reason. I'm excited that you are filling a seat. I'm thankful and I rejoice that you are here because it's better when you're here. Much better, right? I mean, an empty seat says an awful lot of things, all right? Especially to all of us that are in leadership. You guys do not, you may not ever understand how discouraging an empty seat is. But when the seat is full, woo! But we celebrate that you're here, okay? And we're thankful that you're here no matter what the reason. But, everyone say, but, we actually should be more like David and eagerly anticipate coming to church on a regular basis. Thank you, brother. Thank you. We should be like David and say, man, I can't wait. I don't want to miss. I've got to be there. The family's gathering together. We're going to worship the Lord. God's going to be there. I can get prayer in the back or prayer in the front. I can get prayer before service or after service. I'm going through a hard thing and I need prayer. And I can have brothers and sisters who love me and care for me, and they'll pray with me and agree in prayer with me that God's going to move in my life. Amen? Right? Yes. Oh, but Greg, you don't have to come to church to be a Christian. You know, I can worship God all by myself. I don't really need the church to be a Christian. I've heard those statements. And yes, those statements are true in a sense, but practically and in practice, I believe God's word encourages the opposite. Because you don't see anybody in the Old Testament or New Testament saying those kinds of things. I can just serve the Lord out here. I don't need the temple. We can serve the Lord out here, I, all by ourselves. We don't need to go to the tabernacle. No, you, in the early church, you didn't hear that either. They all gathered. 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us that the local church is the house of God now. Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to neglect meeting together, but in actuality to meet and encourage each other and to do it in an ever-increasing manner. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul writes, we are not out here alone by ourselves. He's indicating you're not a lone Christian. You can't be, because we all make up the body of Christ together. We all need each other. That's great preaching. And I didn't preach it. The Apostle Paul did. He's like, you're not on your own. In 1 Corinthians 12, he says, the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. I mean, that would be absurd. What if your nose said to the ear, you guys are lame. You don't, our body would be better without you. I mean, no, it all works together, right? Hand, foot, eyes, ears, nose, mouth. Even your buttocks has a good purpose, which amazes me. Sometimes I think, Lord, that's just wow and crazy. But it's true. You need every part of the body. And that's the same thing with the church. We need each other. And the writer of Hebrews says, even more so as the day approaches of the Lord's return. Woo! It's getting crazy out there, right? It's getting wild out there. It's getting anti-God out there. We need each other now more than ever. Praise the Lord, right? Woo! Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23 says that the church is Jesus' body. And Jesus taught in Mark 2, 27 that corporate worship was very important. And it's not optional. It's from Jesus. So the whole of the New Testament, the writings, it encourages and shows that this thing of, well, I can serve God without the church, kind of teaches against that statement, all right? And then even in our Bible text today, me and him are on a first name basis. You know, Dave gives an encouragement to come to corporate worship. David's encouraging people, worship together, right? So this thing that we do on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights at the middle, our Bible studies and all the ministries, Salt Group, Defenders, Corporate Prayer, and other things that we do is biblical. It's biblical. There's a biblical precedent, right? And this is something that the body of Christ has been doing since the time of Jesus Christ. It's not just something new. It's not a new trend or a new fad. It's been going on for thousands of years, right? Christ established the church himself. Christ built the church himself. When talking to the Apostle Peter, Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, now I say to you that you're Peter, which means a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Ephesians chapter 1, 22, verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church, and the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ. Before you get all super spiritual and say, well, Greg, he's, you know, the body of Christ, the church, it's made up of all these individuals everywhere. I think that's one of the I just showed you the New Testament precedent that shows about coming together corporately. So yes, the body of Christ is believers all over the place, but the church is also us here as we meet together on regular occurrences and we worship Jehovah God and we allow Him to move in our lives and to flow through us and to change our hearts and to change our minds, right? Woo! I mean, if you can't tell, I'm feeling real good today. Real good. Say amen. Say praise the Lord. Say keep on going. Couple hours. Hey, well, let me just take this vest off then and we'll get serious. No, it's biblical, gang. It's biblical. What we're doing is biblical. We do need the church. We need the church. This country needs the church. Big time. And I'm not talking about just, you know, just any old church. We need churches that will stand on the Word of God, that will declare that Jesus Christ is King, that will declare that the Word of God is true, and that we all need Jesus Christ. Because the church is all about Christ. He's the head of it. He's the founder of it. He's the builder of it. He's the sustainer of it, praise the Lord. That's why I always have said for a long time, and I'm praying, Lord, this is your church. Speaking of the open door, this is your church. These are your people. This is your work. Because it is all about Christ. What is your attitude towards the church? Matter of fact, more specifically, the attitude of your church. Examine your heart this morning. What's your attitude towards your church? You know, sometimes I think in the very busyness of our lives, and we're all so busy, and no one in here is more busier than the other. We're all busy in so many ways, right? We're all so preoccupied in so many ways. We've got more streaming options than ever before, great movies coming out, sports is at an all-time high of competition, we got social media platforms that are all over the place. I mean, it takes something special just to put a phone down and just sit in a chair and just sit in silence anymore, right? Used to, that's all anybody could do. That was the highlight of the night. I'm done plowing the field. I'm just going to sit here and sip my lemonade and watch the sun go down. Shoot, none of us, I don't know, I'd say half of us haven't watched the sun go down in a long time. And if we had the time, we're probably watching it on a video stream somewhere. You know what I mean? And you guys know that's true. We're all so busy. And I think we have forgotten the value that we get from gathering together on Wednesday and Sunday and other times. Listen to me now. Listen. It seems as if church day has been relegated to a take it or leave it approach for many. Because I know some of you are not. Some of you are beyond that, and you guys are super faithful. And again, please don't misunderstand this under shepherd's heart. I am so appreciative of you. I celebrate you. We celebrate you whenever you're here. Whenever you're here. It's a joy to see you. There is no open door without any of you. And if you're watching online, there's no open door without you. Because this is your church. But sometimes I feel like we can have the attitude of, you know, take it or leave it. Or I'll be there when I'm there and you guys will be blessed to see me. I've never heard anybody say that, but you know, it's. But I'll be there when I'll be there, or I'm not missed, so it'll be okay, which is completely opposite of the truth. The truth is, you are missed, no matter the reason. No matter the reason, like if you can't attend something, no matter the reason, some valid, some maybe not so, you're missed. You're missed. Sometimes we have the attitude of, I really don't feel like it, you know, or I'm just not feeling it today. Please be aware, believers, there's an enemy out there who would like nothing more than to keep you from gathering together with brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ when we lift up Jesus and we study His Word. And you got to realize that sometimes. I don't feel like it, or it's just not there today, or these kinds of things. Be careful that it might not even be spiritual warfare. Even on Wednesday night, when we are studying the Word of God, digging into God's Word, and learning how it applies to our lives, the enemy would love nothing more than keep you from that, all right? So you have to remember those kinds of things. What is the heart of commitment? It says, I'm committed, right? Listen to me. The place for you when this is your church is here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and other times. Listen, there is a seat for you. And praise God, if we run out of space, we'll bring in more seats, right? There is a seat for you. Tell that to somebody next to you, all right? I mean, Sundays and Wednesdays should be blocked off in the schedule of our week. Just like these three festivals were blocked off in the Israelites' schedules. I will always be pro-church. I will always be an apologist for church attendance, right? And again, I know there's conflicts in schedule that arise because church days are no longer sacred to the secular world. People work. People have ball games. It seems we travel more than ever, which can be a very good thing. I get all that stuff. I'm not shaming. None. I get it. I get it. I get it. And that's why we stream the services live. That's why we keep them recorded so you can still be a part. What I'm saying this morning just is don't lose the value of what attending regularly can bring to you and bring to your family. Yes? That is good preaching. Because the spiritual family gathers together and we love it, right? That's why the Jewish people love these three annual feasts. It was just a big old spiritual potluck of gathering together with the family in worship. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That is a command to meet together regularly. Woo! Let's bring this down. Musicians, be ready. But not yet. So let me ask you this morning, is your attitude about coming to church and Wednesday night and other ministries like the Israelites in the Old Testament were, is it like David's was? Again, many of you get it. I see the joy in your faces. I see the commitment in your hearts. And we just say thank you and we pray that, you know, and everybody's on this spiritual journey at different stages and different walks of life and everywhere and stages of faith. And I keep praying that God would just keep continue to grow us and grow us to where we really become committed to the things of God. But like David, we should actually anticipate coming to church. Rejoice at the mere thought of getting to come to church. I know we get exhausted with responsibilities and work, you know, and activities to attend to, and we have a life to live. But I'm asking as an under-shepherd, make church a big part of your life. Make it a big part of your family. And it's not just self-aggrandizement, it's just, you know, we just want you to come and hear me and Chris speak, or anybody else that's, no, it. There's value. Value. You'll grow. You'll be pushed. You'll find relationship. So many things that I could share. We must never lose sight of what the church is about. And we should still keep the eagerness and excitement about coming to church, right? I mean, you got to guard against the attitude that creeps in and tries to establish itself that says, like, coming to church is a chore, it's a duty, it's an obligation, it's a rule, it's a checklist, it's something you must do. Or the attitude of, it's an optional choice determined by how tired or exhausted by life I am or how busy, or if I have the time, then I'll come. Because we got to have the attitude that David and the Israelites had. It's got to be cherished. It's got to be looked forward to, a delight in our lives. And if it's not that, can I just politely say, you're doing it wrong. And if you'll flip the switch, you'll find a lot more joy in it, a lot more passion in it, right? Because if we are growing in the Lord, growing in Christ, more like him, less like the world, it'll be a delight to gather in his presence. It'll be a delight to worship him with our spiritual family, not just as individuals, but corporately together, right? Sundays and Wednesdays. David exuberated a holy gladness, in coming to the church, the house of God. And that's what it's about. Just think about what God has done for us, what he's done for you. He's our strength. He's our strong rock. He's our defense. He's our savior. He's our might. He's the horn of salvation. Jesus is our refuge. He's our deliverance, our peace, our help, our provider, our king. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He's our hope. He's our fortress. He's our strong tower. He is our light. He is our way. He's our protector. He is our God. Amen? Woo! Praise God. Let it be a highlight of your week. You know, and just, you know, and Wednesdays and other ministries that I've entered, just as important. But Greg, during the week, Greg, I work during the day. By the time I get off, we all work. We all do, right? But some have a hunger. Hear me. This is the difference. Some have a hunger for the Lord and for his word that goes beyond excuses. And they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord and worship him and learn from him. They understand the value of getting together, especially on Sundays and Wednesdays and at these other ministries of the church. And we say, we are here for God. We're here about God. And we're going to learn from God. We're going to be changed by God. Now, that's good preaching right there. Yes. Woo! You realize that the New Testament church, musicians coming up right now, please. The New Testament church. This is the church that happened, that was established by Christ. They started meeting regularly right after Christ ascended. You know how often they would meet? Every single day. Every single day. But Greg, they didn't live like we do. They weren't as busy as we were. They weren't as preoccupied as we were. And we think that's a good excuse for not gathering? Look, to gather corporately in God's house, it's what Jesus established. The first church set the precedent by their example. And it's that important. And we can, and I'll say this, excuses, all they're going to do is rob you. Now there's valid things, I get that. But you guys know what I'm talking about with an invalid excuse. Things that the enemy can use that'll keep us from gathering. We could be there. We could be here. Oh, Greg, you're the pastor. It's your job. You got to be here. Maybe. But you know what? I love the church. I love the church. I've been doing the church thing since I was a little kid. I know the value of it. You know what? My kids will be here. Who knows? I don't know what my future is. You know, I've faced death. Should not be here. But you know what? Me and Megan have taught my kids the value of coming to church. We've taught them that value. And I know they're going to be in church, and church is going to be a part of their life because they'll understand the importance of that, right? These moments, man, we only have 52 weeks of the year. Have you ever thought about that? We've just, 1 month is down now. We only have so many times to gather together. So many times. Yeah, we'll just go, I don't need it. I'm not going to make it. It's a challenge, gang, to remember the value. To not dismiss it in a casual way. Not treat it as important. Not a take it or leave it. Or I'm not sure. Listen, make them highlights of the week. Because this is going to be a foretaste of what's going to happen for all eternity. You realize that? This is what we're going to do for all eternity. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to come and celebrate his goodness. We're going to say, thank you for saving me. I'm going to enjoy your presence for all eternity, Lord, and I'm going to worship you. And there's going to be singing. There's going to be worship. There's going to be feasting. The word says it's not even entered into a man's mind what God has prepared for those who love him. It's going to be so wonderful. Oh, I want to dance. It's so wonderful. And I guarantee you, up then, there ain't going to be no excuses, right? Woo! Listen, there's your challenge. Here's the important part. We're going to take communion. But here's the best part. The best part about coming together corporately, it's not only you get to see Pastor Chris. Hey, all right, you got fans. But God's presence is here. Oh, that makes me dance. God's presence is here right now. Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, this is Jesus speaking, there I am among them. He is here right now. Reach out to him. Let him move in your life, move in your circumstance, move in your situations. Let him right now breathe peace to your troubled soul. Right now, let him bring encouragement to your discouraged heart. Right now, let him bring strength to you who are weak and tired and weary. Let him bring, you know, rest to the one that's exhausted, comfort to the distraught and the upset and the one who's living with unrest. Let him bring joy this morning. Joy in his presence. Come on, pray. Pray to the Lord right now. What do you need of the Lord? Come on, tell him. God, I need strength. Lord, I need rest. Lord, I'm weary. God, I'm tired. Come on, we're about to go before the presence, the table of the Lord in communion. But his presence, his real presence is here right now. And he's ready to move in your heart, move in your circumstance, move in your situation, in your life. God, do your work in us right now. Do your work in our hearts. Do your work in our lives, God. Lord, bring encouragement to that person who's discouraged, the person that's frustrated, Lord. God, bring peace and calm to the one who's frayed and anxious and worried, God. Bring rest to the weary, Lord. And bring joy. Bring healing, God. Healing, Lord. Emotional healing. Mental healing this morning, Lord. Give us your joy. Give us your joy. Bring salvation, Lord. Salvation. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship the Lord right now. Prepare your heart.